This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Hi, and hello again. It is fall. Fall is in the air. 59 degrees outside. What a beautiful day to pick pumpkins. Bound to be some pumpkins to be picked. Are we too early?
Well, you can drive by some of the retail stores, and they have pumpkins sitting out there ready to sell, so they're apparently not.
Oh, okay. Good.
No, I think it's pumpkin picking time.
All right. But that sounds like that should be an Ernie Ford line or something.
Ernie Ford,
but he was a pea
time
picker
in Tennessee. He was an old pea packer himself. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but not a pumpkin packer.
Why? Who knows?
Well, you never know. About
I just
that.
You know, one does not necessarily preclude the other. I don't think.
I was doing totally. This is really off. This is how my mind works.
Well, you're in the right place.
I was talking with some folks about early radio broadcasters in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Ernie Ford got his start in the Tri-Cities.
Yeah.
And he was a radio announcer, not a singer,
right?
But he was a radio announcer. A lot of people don't realize this. His second job was in Knoxville. And I think it was, they told me this, but I don't recall for sure. I think it was WROL, either WROL or WNOX. WNOX, by the way, was the first radio station in the entire state of Tennessee.
Okay.
He is the one, Ernie Ford, is the one who announced first on the radio in Tennessee, that the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor.
Well, that's
now
a
that's trivia.
It
that is.
Is
trivia.
Yes, it is.
But Ernie Ford, the old pea picker,
is
the one who did that. Well, I don't know why we shared that this morning.
Well, I don't know either, but it's good to it's good to share what you know.
And so I sort of
well, I appreciate
look for everything.
I appreciate knowing that. Thank you.
Well, now it's your turn.
Well, let's see. Trivia. Okay. When is the, I guess we could ask a trivia question.
Okay.
When is the 50% probability that the first frost will occur in Murfreesboro? Either occur.
Looking for the date.
By or prior to that. Yeah, 50%
okay.
Probability.
All righty. Somebody probably knows
that.
Oh,
I'm sure someone does.
Yeah. Do you know it?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Even better. So that date has not happened yet.
It has not happened this year. No.
Oh, okay. And is the weather looking like it might happen? Because I think the forecast is calling for
40s.
Up and around the
Friday night,
Cumberland
Saturday
Plateau
night.
In that area especially.
Yeah. And they would be, theirs would be different. Actually, the Tennessee Department of Agriculture they publish the freeze dates, the first freeze dates and the last freeze dates and so on, and that's all based just on accumulated historical data from weather stations across Tennessee and from the University of Tennessee Experiment Stations. Weather stations are located there, and so you have the probability tables as to when the first frost will occur. Mm-hmm. Like for us, there's and they have them listed, there's a 10% probability, 50%, and 90% probability of that first frost that will occur, on or before a given date. And then in the spring of the year, they have the probabilities as to when the last ones will occur. And, for Murfreesboro, it would not be the same as it would say. It wouldn't be necessarily the same as it is in, it's not the same in Columbia. Murfreesboro to Columbia.
That difference.
Yeah. And and it's, there's not a lot of difference there, but they're not exactly the same dates.
Mm-hmm. By the way, and I did not mention this, Mitchell Mote is the voice you're hearing. Mitchell, of course, with the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And if you have lawn or garden questions, and this is the time of the year, there are so many lawn and garden questions. Call us.
A lot of lawn questions right now. This is the, you know, you're right, it's just knee deep in the peak time to do renovation work or establishment work or just overseeding on cool season turf grasses. And I want to emphasize that cool season turf grasses because I occasionally see ads for someone offering a service, and it'll be a very generic statement that fall is the absolute best time to plant grass. Well, if you're talking cool season grass, yes, indeed, it is. But if not, it's a very poor time. It's a waste of time to plant a warm season grass, such as Bermuda grass, in late September or October. So you'd just be throwing your money away. But if you're talking cool season turf grasses, tall fescue, bluegrasses, and mixtures of those, then absolutely now is the time to get it done. And the soil moisture is good. We've had rain. I actually had at my house last night a light shower there. So that's going to make it easier to do the cultivation, whether you core aerate first or whether you dethatch or use a slit seed or whatever. You've got enough moisture in the ground to make those tools work very well. And also it will help to cause that seed to begin to absorb enough moisture, which is the key to getting it to germinate. It's got to absorb enough moisture to make that happen.
Now, as you look back over the past week, in addition to that topic, were there other topics people had questions about?
Well, questions. One that comes to mind, I guess, is, identifying spiders. Done a fair amount of that, I guess, this week. And as the nights get cooler and days get shorter and so on, so you start to see things show up in homes, mice and bugs and, you know, just a sort of crickets and critters of different sorts. Folks will catch a spider and they'll wonder, well, I wonder if this is a bad one. And, you know, for us, we're primarily thinking about brown recluse spiders or black mm-hmm. widows being the poison ones, and we've had some spiders come in this week to be identified as to whether or not they were brown recluse spiders. And fortunately, in each case, they were not. Although that's not always the case, it's not uncommon to see brown recluse spiders or black widows, you know, in homes or outbuildings and so on.
Now, Is this the spider season? I mean, are there more spiders this time of the year?
Oh, I don't know that there's more or not, Bart. Probably not. But as you know, a spider living outside looks for a place to live inside. So when weather gets cooler, just mice, bugs, critters of sorts, they like to go for shelter. So you may see them more inside.
Let's go to the phones. Our number is 893-1450 if you have a lawn or garden question or want to share a spider story. Or
had a snake in the ladies' room at Lane Agri Park last week.
I bet that was exciting.
Well, not too bad. It was at night, and janitor, happened to be there working a little bit late, and the janitor said, hey, there's a snake in the ladies' room here. So it was just a little bitty thing.
It wasn't any boa constrictor or something?
No, I don't think so.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
I have a question for Mr. Molt.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I want to do a little overseeding.
Okay.
But first, I must kill the cold weather weeds, so I want to spray that with 2,4-D. Now, how long will I have to wait after I spray that till I can sow my seed?
Most of those products are going to tell you to wait some in the neighborhood of 3 weeks.
Wait what?
In the neighborhood of 3 weeks. Check your individual label for the particular product.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay, but 3 weeks is generally the time that most products like that contain 2,4-D will suggest that you wait. It's always good to check your label to be certain, but generally speaking, 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. Thank you for calling. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today? Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Oh, hey, Bart. Saw you in the paper.
Oh, that's scary, isn't it?
Well, I had a heart attack in 2000 myself, and then I had to have a pacemaker. So, but I was wondering, I live at an apartment complex out here, and in the front flower bed, I'm wanting to put something in there to keep the grass from growing. Now, I pick that grass by hand every 3 or 4 months. I know it's not going to be that much picking for winter, but if there's some kind of a cedar or mulch that you can put in there to keep that grass from growing so fast.
What about that, Mitchell?
Okay, well, if it's let's say if it's an annual grass, and that would be something like crabgrass or goosegrass, so on things like that, that's germinating from seed. Well, sure, a combination of using a pre-emergent herbicide, like maybe some Preen or something that contains Treflan or a product called Gallery or a combination product that's got some Treflan or some Dimension or something like that in it will interfere with that seed germination. And so that's a plus, because if the seeds don't germinate, or if they can't make a root on account of you use this product, then you don't have to pick it out. And also just the use of mulch, 3 inches of mulch is generally going to be adequate to keep a seedling from having enough energy to poke all the way through that mulch. Let's say that, if a seedling were to germinate on the ground underneath that mulch, odds are it doesn't have enough energy to poke its way up through there. Now, what you'll see happen is those seeds get deposited on top of the mulch, as time goes by, and they'll germinate there and grow up through, because they're not buried very deeply anyway. Now, on a perennial grass, like Bermuda grass, for example, or tall fescue, let's say that those two are growing in a flower bed, you're going to have to use something that's going to be a post-emergent kind of product that will that will kill them to the root. Glyphosate or Roundup would be a brand. Those will kill those plants back to the root. Or you could use a grass-only killing product, something that contains a chemical that just works against grasses. But I wonder, though, now, for instance, if it were tall fescue, if you pull tall fescue out of a bed, if you pull it out by the roots, well, unless there's more seed there to germinate, that tall fescue's not coming back, okay?
Yeah, I figured it'd be like my wife. She pulls my hair out long enough, I won't have anything.
Well, it's true. If it's a perennial like that, if you pull them and you get the root out of the ground, that one's not coming back. So I wonder if what you're having is, maybe you've got a good bit of crabgrass seed in the ground. All right, that's going to continue to germinate as time goes by, and it will sprout on through. Now, the other thing is it really a grass that you have? Because if you have something, a lot of folks will confuse it with grass. If you have a plant called a sedge, and the most common one is yellow nut sedge, now, pulling it is good exercise, but it's not very effective in terms of ridding a bed of it, because it's got a little bulb, the best way I know to describe it is compare it to a wild onion, except this thing is not attached to the, like a wild onion bulb is, you pull it up and you get the bulb out of the ground, well, the stem and all attached to it and so on. Well, that's not the case with these nut sedges, because they have this bulb or this nut in the ground, and they have a little thin root, kind of like an umbilical cord that runs from there up to the up to the shoot. The stem and all, and it has its own little root system and so on. So a person pulls that, well, they get the shoot and the little root system out of it, but they break that little umbilical cord-like root that's connecting it to the nut. Well, the nut's in the ground, so it just puts up another plant. So that can be real frustrating. And if it is a sedge, then the things that I mentioned earlier, like grass killers and pre-emergence and so on, they're not going to have activity against that. You've got to use something specifically for the sedge. A product called Sedge Hammer is an example that works against it. But now, a sedge...
Can you get it at Lowe's?
What now?
Can you get that stuff at Lowe's?
You can get a lot of that stuff at Lowe's. Most of your garden centers, places like Farmers Co-op, Hooper Supply, Dickens Turf and Landscape, those are all potential places. Martin's, any of the greenhouses or the garden centers that sell those products. But the thing about the sedge is, it if you look at it closely, it's very smooth. The surface is. It doesn't have hairs on it. And it's glossy. It's kind of shiny. And it'll have a real sharp point. And it'll be the little stems are kind of triangular shaped. So you might want to check and make sure, because, gosh, there's been an awful lot of sedge. Over the last 2 or 3 years, we've had these real wet springs, a flood of 2010, and boy, a lot of that stuff has really gotten started, and it's becoming a larger problem than it has been in the last 2 or 3 years than it was previously. So, you know, make sure it's not make sure you don't have sedge, because if you have sedge, you've got to be very specific about how you treat it.
You should make a website and let people take the cameras and make pictures of the grass it's trying to get rid of and send them to you.
Well, actually, you can, let me tell you, the University of Tennessee Extension website, if you were to go there and then you go to the Tennessee turf grass, a link to that. Now, they have a weed ID tool on that site. Also, if you can take a good, clear picture of whatever the pest is or the problem is, and you can email that to me, and a lot of times we can identify the things for you just very simply. Now, and I don't mind doing that at all, but I do want to caution folks, you know, you got to have a picture that shows some detail. If you stand off 5 or 6 feet and take a picture of this little grass, you probably have just wasted the time to do that, because you won't have enough detail. You've got to get up close to it. And one good picture that shows detail is better than 5 or 6 that don't show a lot of detail. But my email address is mmote, and that's M-O-T-E, but mmote1@utk.edu. And if you email that picture to me, and if I can see it well enough, I can generally tell you what it is.
Well, I sure do appreciate it. I'm going to try to get rid of it before next spring.
Okay, well, good luck with it. And, you know, give us a call at the office if we need to talk in more detail about it.
Yes, sir. I thank you, man.
You bet.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, Mr. Bart.
You have a good day. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. We have somebody hold on. If they would hold on, we'll be with you in just a moment. We're going to check the traffic and weather, and we'll be back and take this next call, 893-1450. We will return, 893-1450.
Locally operated and responding to your local opinions. Good Neighbor Talk, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
Hi, this is Susan Woolsey, and I'm the Customer Relations Manager for Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been here 11 years.
Same employees, same great service.
We're doing a lot of cleaning, doing a lot of painting, doing some freshening up. We've got all the same employees that we've had for years.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
We're ready to give you the best deal ever and give you the best customer service that we can possibly give you.
Family Staffing Solutions.
They've given me back a new life. There are truly people in this world that care about the elderly.
Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best.
This is not a high-pressure business. We want you to be very happy when you agree to do business with us.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
When you need that help, it's there for the asking.
143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Quality automotive repair and diagnostics with service you can trust. Nationwide guarantee. Call 896-1407. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning, Weatherford County. Happy to report, guys, still accident-free out there along our interstates and along our secondaries. However, starting to slow down at Haywood Lane going into the downtown area along I-24 West. Getting a little bit closer to that rush hour, guys, so let's slow down and get there safely. Also starting to see some slower traffic along 840 westbound right around the ramp going on to Highway 70. Learn to fly with the best. Nashville Flight Training will help make that dream a reality. Give them a call, 366-9192, or go online to nashvilleflighttraining.com. With your WGNS traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Let's take a look at that Murfreesboro weather now, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll have plenty of sunshine for the forecast area today. A high temperature in the mid-80s. We'll have a west-southwest wind between 5 and 10. I'm WGNS Staff Meteorologist Mandy Fellhuber.
Right now, 63. This is Freda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
Now, FM 100.5 has more power. It's louder, so you can listen longer. We're covering Rutherford County better than ever. We're WGNS Murfreesboro.
Not some bad advice there. Welcome back. 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. If you have a lawn or garden question, give us a shout. 893-1450. Mitchell Motes with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Lots to do out there. We're talking about cool season grasses, and it's not too late to do that. I've seen a lot of people just taking the grass that they had totally off and starting over again.
Have seen a few cases where folks have done that, and that would be a total renovation. Probably they're using what's called a limited tillage total renovation, where they will kill the existing grass there using a non-selective herbicide product, such as glyphosate or Roundup, and then remove some quantity of that dead organic matter via, say, a tool like a dethatcher or something, and then seed into the that stubble using maybe a slit seeder, or after they have run a dethatcher through it and cultivated the ground slightly, then broadcast seed out there, and then maybe drag it or roll it down again, or using punch a lot of holes in the ground with a core aerator, and then broadcast your seed and drag it after that. But yeah, that's, you'll see that going on.
Now, we have talked in the past about the importance of aerating your lawns. Is this the time of the year to do that? And if it is, what's a good thing about it?
Again, it depends on the kind of turf you're growing. If it's cool season turf, then yes, this is a fine time to do aeration. If it's a warm season turf, it's not such a good time, simply because that you do cause some damage to the grass plants. The act of the aerator going through there, it can crush leaves and stems and whatnot and cause some damage. So you want to have a good period of or a good growing period following the mechanical aeration process to allow it to recover. So fall is a good time on these cool season grasses. Spring is another time that would be appropriate to aerate if that needs to be done on a cool season turf. But then for a warm season turf grass like Bermuda grass or zoysia grass, do that once it starts growing again in the spring of the year. So you're talking kind of late spring, early summertime for those grasses.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as working around the landscaping, bushes, trees, things of that sort.
Yes, sir.
Is this a time to do that
also? Oh, yeah, this is a good time to plant shrubs and or trees into the landscape, simply because we do have a good level of soil moisture now, so you can actually dig in the ground. And plus, you're coming into the fall period where you're going to, or we would anticipate at least, expect to see an increase in our rainfall, at least a more regular rainfall pattern. So that's going to minimize the need for you to do supplemental irrigation. So, yeah, that's a plus. You know, it's a good time to put out spring flowering bulbs, flower bulbs.
Ah.
Any time between now and, say, early December, you could do that. Make you some beds or go in and add those to existing beds. But that would be those spring flowering bulbs. Or divide summer flowering or spring flowering perennials. Now would be a decent, or it'd be a good time to do those things.
Let's go to the phones. 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Mote. How are you today? Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Is that me?
That is you. Good morning.
Okay. I would like to find out something about the cool weather crops. You know, what we can plant at this time, like turnip greens and onions and stuff like that. I don't know much about that. And if you can get the onion seeds, And anyway, I'd appreciate him elaborating on that.
Okay. Boy, now's a you're right in the middle of that time that you're thinking about doing the cool season, the fall crops, and you know, as you mentioned turnip greens there, you kind of figure any of those good leafy vegetables that like cool weather, you can grow those in the fall of the year, and actually you can start planting those earlier this month, but turnips and mustard and collards and lettuce and, you know, kale, things like that. Probably, especially if you just want greens, to make a root, like say on a turnip, it's going to take longer to do that. And you still have time to do it. Now you're asking, you know, cabbages, things like that, they'll grow this time of the year. Now, can you find, say, onion sets? I doubt it. I doubt that you'll find those in the garden centers at this time. If you had some, you're really going to have time to make green onions probably, but you don't have enough time. They won't have enough time to grow to make an onion, you know, the slicing onion, but green onions. But I'd be surprised if you'd find them. I don't think that they normally are going to carry those. But, gosh, any of those leaf-type vegetables, this is a good time to plant those. But I would suggest you go ahead and do it, though, because it is, you know, every day gets a little bit later, and you won't have enough time to allow it to happen. But, yes, ma'am, you're in that time that you can sure do it.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Doing great. I have a quick question. When would be a good time to start looking for some new crop pecans?
New crop pecans. What would...
I would say now.
Now?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Start looking for them. You're talking about some to go pick or some to buy?
To buy or pick up, either one.
Okay. I mean, the trees, pecan trees, they will have made their nut crop. They may still be drying down some, but if they're going to make a crop, they're made right
okay.
now.
Would it be all right if I put a solicitation out?
Sure, go
it's
ahead.
Okay with me.
Okay, if anyone out there in Radio Land has some that they'd like to get rid of or have someone help them pick them up for a share, I would like them to call me at 895-0455, and I'll try to work with them anyway.
895-0455.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You might also call Swap and Shop in the morning and get on that list.
Well, I'll be glad to do that. Thank you.
You have a great day.
All right.
Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our number if you have a question or a comment.
I said the crop's made. It is made now, but they may not have really started dropping yet, but it won't be long before they do.
People who have the pecan trees probably would like somebody to come pick them up.
Well, or buy them from,
yeah,
sure.
Whichever.
Yeah.
Better than just let them sit in the yard.
Oh, gosh, yeah. At least get some benefit out of it. And, you know.
Of course, the squirrels would be happy.
The squirrels, boy, there hasn't been a shortage of those things.
Man, I have noticed that.
Lots of squirrels. We mentioned earlier the, you know, trivia, when is the 50% probability of our first frost. Nobody has
nobody's
offered a guess on that yet. But it's not that terribly far away.
Close.
We're getting closer every day, but it's not that far. And that will, you know, if the fact that we're moving into that time of the year, you got to figure that these, you know, nuts and so on, they're, it's the time, you know, time of harvest for things like that.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Doing
thank
fine.
You.
I got a question about mushrooms that pop up in your yard. How do you tell the edible ones by the inedible ones?
Boy, you don't. As far as I can tell, you don't. You don't even try to do that.
Don't try.
No, I wouldn't. I would caution you to not try to do that at all. You need to be very knowledgeable. I mean, you know, you might get lucky, but then you might not, too. It only takes one bad experience to end your experience. So,
yeah, that's what
I would. I mean, I would not attempt to advise you.
Let them lay, huh?
Yes, sir. You know, let somebody else do it, but I wouldn't suggest you do that at all because
there's
not that many. There's some of them will kill you, I guess. But,
yeah, I know it.
And I sure don't know enough about it, and I would never attempt to, instruct anyone else. Now, there are references, there are field guides, you know, that you can buy. Like, for instance, Audubon, they have field guides to identifying trees and birds and wildflowers and so on. You can find things like that for, mushrooms and so on.
Right.
And there are websites that will allow you to do that. But, boy, you got some of those things kind of favor one another. And, like a coral snake and what's the other one, the little banded snake. Well, they're both, red, black, and yellow colors, and one of them will kill you and one of them won't. So they look very much like one another. So I just would not suggest you try to do that unless you just
know
what you're doing. And I can't tell you how to do it.
Have a good day.
Yes, you too. Bye-bye. 893-1450. There are some things that are better to buy.
Yeah. If nobody bought them, then they'd go out of business, and that'd be bad for
the
economy.
That's right. This is our chance to support the economy.
You bet. You bet.
893-1450 is the phone number, 893-1450. Mitchell Motes with us this morning, and we're talking lawns and gardens. And obviously you have some lawn and garden issues, and if you do, call us at 893-1450. Mitchell is here. He has some answers for you. We still have not had had a lot of calls, but nobody's even made a guess at when the first frost day, estimated frost.
It's the 50% probability of first frost for Murfreesboro.
Somebody's going to get that.
Sure.
Maybe.
And if they don't, I'll tell you when it's over. Or towards the end here.
We'll be right back.
I like my night skies to be blue, blue as you.
You don't hear those other radio guys talking about Murfreesboro.
We'll be back to the countdown in just a minute.
The only place you'll hear good neighbor talk is WGNS Murfreesboro.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
WeatherEye.
We'll have plenty of sunshine for the forecast area today. A high temperature in the mid-80s. We'll have a west-southwest wind between 5 and 10. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Feliber. Right now, 63.
Well, friends, if you haven't been to Bell Furniture, you've been spending too much on your furniture and not getting the quality. Bell Furniture has the Serta leather sectional. Regular $10.99, they have it for $7.49. They have some beautiful chaise lounges, too. And Terry Bell wanted me to tell you that everything at Bell Furniture is made in America. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
I get a radio that's kind of possessed.
It's coast to coast AM overnight every night.
You have a possessed radio?
Yeah.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Do you know when the 50% chance of frost is? And if you have the correct answer, we'll give you a gift certificate to Toots Good Food.
Oh, there's
Club.
A prize with these.
Yeah, why not?
Well, sure.
Live on the edge. $15 gift certificate here. 893-1450. We got all the lines full now.
We better get to it then.
Let's see what's happening. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Mote. How are you today?
Morning, Bart.
Good morning.
I think it's October. It's right around October 15th. within a couple of days of it is probably the freeze date.
How is that?
Well, he's in the right month, but before actually for Mercer, it's a little bit later than that. Is the, okay. That's the 50%
between,
probability.
Yeah, between 15th and 20 is what it's what the old folks used to say. But anyway, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
How can you get rid of Johnson grass that's gotten my monkey grass?
Johnson grass that's gotten the monkey grass.
Okay. Well, you are going to have to be careful at that. I mean, you can dig Johnson grass out. I mean, you can do that. It's not easy, and that may not be what you want to hear, but you can do that. And another option would be to use a grass herbicide. You've got to be very careful when you apply it. Now, probably the Johnson grass will grow up taller faster than your monkey grass will.
Right.
So the fact that it does that gives you an opportunity to apply it specifically to the Johnson grass. And a way to do that is to not spray it on, but get yourself a good rubber glove and put that rubber glove on, and then over the top of that rubber glove, put just a little cheap cotton work glove and mix up your herbicide in a little container, not a sprayer, but one that you can fit your hand in, so that then you can saturate that cotton glove, and then you just reach down and just rub and soak that Johnson grass, all the foliage and the stem and so on, and not get it onto your monkey grass. And right. That is that's good way to do it.
That's what my brother-in-law, call it, Delk, told me it. But I was wondering if there was any easier way.
Well, I'll tell you, an easier way to do it is let your brother-in-law do it. That'd be an easier way. Let him go in there and do it. But as far as selectively removing the monkey grass, or selectively removing the Johnson grass and not removing the monkey grass, and, you know, if I were at the office, I might could do a little research and come up with something for you. But offhand, I'm not aware of a herbicide that's going to have activity against the Johnson grass that would not also possibly have activity against the monkey grass.
Well, we may attack it next spring.
but now, sure enough, the fact that it does.
I find it all the time anyway.
The fact that it does jump up there like that, it gives you an opportunity to do that. And right. Seriously, if you'll coat it good, I mean, you can kill that Johnson grass and not destroy the rest of it.
Yeah, it's gotten my grapes, too, so I'm going to have to do the same thing for both of them.
And now with the grapes, you know, during the dormant time, if you can go in and maybe catch early in the spring or before the grapes really start coming out much, you can do a directed spray with some glyphosate. I mean, it can be used around grapes, but you want to be careful with it. Maybe use a shield to keep it off off the vines and so on. But yeah, you can do, or you know, not necessarily glyphosate, but you could use say a grass product like a brand name. Brand names change all the time. Seth Oxidium or Post, something like that, would be a grass product that would work against that Johnson grass.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right, sir. You're welcome.
Y'all have a great day.
You too. Thanks for calling. 893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today? Good morning.
Hi. Must be me.
It is you.
To put out the old time hardy hedges.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's hardy, but I'd like to know the best time to put it out and what kind of fertilizer. I'm wanting to get it up as quick as possible for a privacy fence.
Are you talking about using? Are you talking about privet? Using privet hedge? Are you talking about a privet hedge?
Actually, I don't know actually the name, but it's the old, what I call, you know, you see it, used to, you saw it everywhere, people would put out a hedge.
Yes, sir.
And even fancy it up, if, you know, square it off
Yes, sir. I think that's what you're talking about, is privet or ligustrum would be another name it's known as.
Okay.
And boy, now's a good time to put that out. And I wouldn't fertilize any now, but I would go ahead and get it put out now, and then maybe if you got it put out this fall, and after it gets growing good next spring, and say you get past that flush of spring growth, and you get down towards the latter part of May, the first part of June, then that'd be a time to think about maybe fertilizing it to really cause it to come on and grow. But during this first year, when you put it in the ground, I don't know that fertilization is going to be that much benefit, and it may actually be a little bit detrimental to it in terms of getting that root system established. If you're going to use a fertilizer, it would be one that had like more phosphorus, more potassium in it, not so much nitrogen in there. But you know, for example, a synthetic fertilizer, a commercial fertilizer like 5-20-20, or maybe some bone meal, some good chicken litter, aged chicken litter, some bone meal, some stuff like that mixed in the planting soil might be beneficial to help get it started, but not a lot of real high nitrogen fertilizer at all. But yes, I'm thinking you're talking about the privet or ligustrum hedge.
Fertilizer, I think you mentioned 5-20-20.
Yeah, real low nitrogen, high phosphorus, and potassium.
That would be a pretty good, if you did use some.
If you were going to use a commercial fertilizer at planting, that would be, you know, something along that line. Real low nitrogen, high phosphorus, and potassium. Or even just some bone meal, good compost, good aged chicken litter or cow manure, something like that would be beneficial to add at planting time also.
Okay. And also, one other question. I have heard in time past when you put that hedge out, and it does have some height to it, to run a lawnmower over it if it's that small where you can and cut it off to where it grow thicker and faster maybe.
Pruning the tops out will generally encourage thicker growth. Yes, sir. It would. And if it's small enough that you can run a mower over it, that would be a simple way to do it.
Okay. All right.
Now, you want to make sure, though, that you don't mow it to the ground. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, raise her up, and leave about maybe 4 or 5 inches sticking up.
Yes, or more. Yes, sir.
And do you have a suggestion on anything else? I've noticed some hedges around town that were, I call them hedges, they're kind of like flowers in a way, flower bush.
Yes, sir.
Particularly down there on, I can't think of the name of the street, commercial. But it grows, looks like, pretty fast and has a pretty red bunch bush, a red flower-like. I can't explain it exactly, but it's hardy and stays green all winter, but in certain times of year it does put out a nice-looking kind of a red flower-like,
Yes, a red flower. Well, shoot, I can't just think offhand about a red flower. Now, they'll stay green year-round. Boy, you sure got some good choices there. Some of the hollies, like for instance Nellie Stevens hollies, they make a nice large shrub. They'll grow pretty fast and will grow up there and make you that shrub. Some viburnums are they're a broadleaf plant, and they do flower, but it's not a real showy flower, and it's certainly not red. And they're kind of a big wide leaf plant, sort of dark green, and they're hardy. I mean, you'll see those. Well, as a matter of fact, up in that Old Fort Parkway there, in front of Old Fort Park, they've used a lot of viburnums, and you know, with all the traffic and the exhaust and so on, and the heat from the pavement, and those things really survive well. That would be a choice also.
Well, something that's dropped on the ground, I may sneak a little piece of it and come by the agriculture to identify it.
Well, we can sure try. Yes, sir.
Okay.
We can try.
All right. That number at agriculture at the office
The phone number is 898-7710, and the office address is 315 John Rice Boulevard, Suite 101.
Well, I certainly appreciate your time,
yes,
and I
sir.
Won't tie you up anymore. I know
no
there's
problem.
Other callers.
Good to talk to you.
Have a good
Thank
day.
Thank you very much.
You're
Have
welcome.
A good day.
Bye-bye. 893-1450 is the number. Let's go to another line here. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Mote. Good morning.
Yes, Bart. Appreciate you taking my call. Good talking to you, Mitchell.
Yes, sir.
I think what that guy's talking about may be a bush rose or a knockout rose or something like that, what it's called. I think that rose will produce pretty much late into the year. That may be what he's talking about. I've seen several of those planted around on the different corners of the intersection.
Knockout roses are being used a lot, and they will they'll retain foliage pretty much too.
And let me see. Let me guess on that frost. I think I'm going to go with October 27th. I had that written down a few times the last few years, and it's usually around there. I don't know if that's right or not.
Now, say that date again, the 20 what?
The 27th.
27th. Boy, that's a little bit later. I mean, that date is a little bit later than the 50% probability date, but you're certainly within the ballpark.
All right. Y'all have a good day. Good
Thanks
talking
a lot.
To you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. Let's go to this line. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. Good morning.
Hey, Mark. It's Mike's Purtle.
Hey, Mike.
I think the first frost is October 24th.
October 24th. This is the trivia king right here, by the way.
Okay, well, he's close, but he's off just a little bit. Off just a little bit.
Sorry, Mike.
Okay, thanks, man.
Have a good one. 893-1450. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Bar.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
We're doing great. How are you today?
Hey, I got a question.
Okay.
Do you think he can tell me what you can kill a alpine bush with?
Kill a hawthorn bush with?
No, alpine.
What kind?
Bush. They have pink buck flowers on them.
Yeah, you want to kill that shrub?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, ma'am, you can kill it. If you'll get a product that contain. Now, I'm assuming you want to spray something on it, is that right?
Well, I've been throwing grease out there on it, hot grease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you were to cut it off at the ground and then.
Oh, I can't do that, sir. I ain't got nothing to cut with.
Well, it may not be. Well, okay, but I'm just telling you some different ways you can do that.
Okay.
And one would be to cut it off at the ground like that, and then when it did regrow, you can, you know, just treat that new growth with products that contain, you know, they're labeled brush killers. You can buy them at the garden center. They'll contain triclopyr. They'll do a good job on those. But, I mean, if you want to kill it with something there at the house, you pour enough hot grease on it and you cover it, yeah, you'll kill it. And I don't know how big this thing is, and it may take gallons of hot grease to do it, but, you know, enough of it will kill it, especially if you cover it really good. I mean, you kill it with enough salt. You'll make the ground to the point that nothing else will grow there for a long time, too. But so if you just want to kill the bush, though, and then, you know, not render the ground sterile for a while, then my suggestion would be to cut it off and then treat the stump where you cut it, just right after you treat it with, or right after you cut it with a little Roundup or one of the products that contain triclopyr. That'd be a pretty decent way to kill it.
Now, you were saying something about salt. Are you saying just throw it around the bottom
of it? On the bottom of it, yes, ma'am. And I'm talking about it might take a bunch. I don't know how big this thing is, but if you do that, then you're probably going to... you're probably going to make the ground where it won't grow anything else for a good long time, too.
What did you say?
I said if you put enough salt out there to kill that bush, you'll probably make the ground around it where it won't grow anything else for a long time either.
And on that, we're going to have to say so long. We're flat out of time this morning. Got a lot of folks still wanting to guess, but didn't have a right
October
answer.
22nd is October the 50% 22nd. Probability of the first frost. October 22nd. That's for
Mitchell Moat today. From the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service.
The smell of your skin, the taste of your